From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we appreciate welcoming in by phone Deacon Kevin Sesko. Deacon, always good to hear your voice.
How's it going?
Dude, you're going very, very well. I can't wait for spring. A couple of days of rain, a little bit of cold. I'm done. I want spring.
There you go. You ready for spring already, huh?
Yes.
Well, we're getting the rain we need, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I prayed for rain. I did my my civic duty, my Christian duty. But
it was
enough.
You got us the rain.
I'll take responsibility for it.
It was you. Okay, all right, no to blame now. All right.
Yes.
I got it.
Indeed. How are you and the family and as we look into this new year?
Well, we're doing really well. You know, we're blessed. We're all healthy, so that's good, right? And we're just headed into heading into the new year. We are all really involved in ministry. So I'm at St. Lawrence, and my wife Paula is the director at St. Clair, and my daughter Sarah's in the choir. Rachel is an usher.
Wow.
But she doesn't really like to be an usher because she says the people are rude to her. So be nice to your ushers. If you're listening to this, please be courteous to your ushers, especially if they're teenagers.
Yes. Who's selling the popcorn?
Maybe it's now, like, it was easier during COVID when everyone had to wear masks.
Right.
At mass, because we're in Placer County, right? So,
right.
So when they wore masks, they were nicer because you couldn't see their mouths, right? Now you can see their whole face, and they're just looking stern and rude all the time. And so my daughter's like, I don't know if I want to be an usher. People are rude. I don't want to.
That's a tough job for a teenager.
They give me mean looks.
Yeah.
They give me mean looks. I don't like it. I'm like, okay, all right. She says, I'm just trying to tell them which direction to pass the basket, and they just give me a mean look. I don't like it. So anyway. We told her that she had to be involved. You know, they both have to. They could be involved in any ministry they wanted, but they had to be involved in a ministry outside of one that served them, right?
So right.
They're both involved in youth group. They chose not to be necessarily on leadership. They went to a leadership. They went to our Youth on a Mission program over the summer. Now that they're freshmen in high school, and so they're a little bit involved with the leadership of the youth group, but we told them they had to find another ministry to be involved in. So my one daughter's singing in the choir, and my other daughter's being the reluctant usher. So I think we need a spirituality of ushering a retreat or something. But that's how it's going.
That sounds like a little novelette for teenagers. The reluctant usher.
There you go. But anyway, but besides that, everything. We could complain, but why do that, right?
Why complain?
Like, who would listen, right? Who would listen? No one wants to listen to complaining anymore. So I'm excited about going into 2022, and we've got a lot of things going on. You know, we have our confirmation conference. We did the first half in November.
Right.
We were in Roseville, and we were up in Red Bluff.
Right.
And that was exciting. We were in the State Theater in Red Bluff, right in downtown Red Bluff. Beautiful venue.
Did the church and the theater get together and build to complement each other? It's almost like having a second parish hall or something.
No, it's really nice. And, I think, because we were connected to the parish, they were super nice to us. They had a big volunteer team. They helped us do the sound and the video, and it was great. Beautiful. We also were able to do it at St. Clair. We did a special day for the Catholic school kids, because this year during COVID, when we go to Christian Brothers, we're going to be at Christian Brothers and St. Patrick, St. Vincent's in January, end of January,
right.
29th and 30th. All of the candidates for confirmation, and they're basically, we're limiting it to 1,000 because we don't know what's going to be happening with COVID,
right.
So we don't want to have to require like proof of vaccination for everybody that goes in and tests and all that. So if we stay under 1,000, we can keep them a little, we can also attend a little bit more to social distancing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're limiting it to 1,000. So we did a special day for Catholic schools. We've never done that before. We did that at St. Clair. And actually, St. Clair was a beautiful venue for the event. That is such a beautiful church.
Sure.
And I never thought about doing it for an event. You know, we they do have the altar is the altar doesn't move. It's, you know, it's not movable, right? If the altar was moved, it would be, you could move the altar back like 10 feet. It would be a beautiful venue, right? Because it's just like a three-quarter thrust stage almost, right? But you know, we don't want to destroy the sanctuary. So we just, you know, we would basically just use the lip of the, you know, the front, the very front of the altar. Like there's kind of a platform before you go up to the all the way into the sanctuary. So the speakers weren't all the way in the sanctuary. They were kind of down in front, and they kind of walked back and forth to try to hit everybody. Mm-hmm. And then it was big enough that we had about 500 in there. But it seats 1,200, so we could have some distance between the classes sat together, and they wore masks, and we had distance between them to just kind of, we didn't want to infect the entire school system with COVID and want a big giant event.
Right.
So we did that. But anyway, but now, and you know, who knows what's going to happen, but we've got that confirmation conference coming up in January, and we've got all kinds of things this year. We have a marriage conference coming up in June that we're doing. It'll be in English and Spanish on the 24th, I believe, or I think it's the 25th, Saturday, the 25th of June. What else do we have going on? We of course have we have our First Things. I think that either Anthony or Alex has probably been on to talk about First Things. It's our training program in youth and young adult ministry, and it's going to be you watch videos and read material offline, and then once a month you get together for a small group meeting, and it tries to take people through kind of the process of what do you need to know if you're going to serve youth in a parish context?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to need to know if you're going to serve young adults in a parish context? And trying to just take people through step by step, but also trying to build a community of youth and young adult leaders who will turn to each other for help. So that'll start mid-February. Again, we'll be finishing it in January, and then we'll be starting a new cohort of that process mid-February. We're hoping there's word of mouth, and we can have two or three small groups of people kind of learning how to do a youth ministry. And again, it's some of it is just, you know, the same stuff that people have already heard, but there's also been research and new material, and we have the new document from Pope Francis, Christus Viva, and stuff like that, that is all integrated into this training. So we hope that's going to be a really good experience for people in the coming year.
Wow. And you presume you're going to have ministry days again?
We are. We moved ministry days for the spring for the first time. I mean, ministry days has always been in the fall, but we, you know, because of COVID, we out of an abundance of caution, we moved it to the spring, so it'll be on April 1st and 2nd. No fooling.
No fooling.
Really happening on April 1st and 2nd. And we're going to try to do it at a parish for the first time. So we're going to do it at Holy Family in Citrus Heights.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be Friday the 1st and Saturday the 2nd. Bishop Soto will be there both days. Say Mass and give us a blessing, and we'll have workshops, and we have keynote speakers in English and Spanish, and workshops in all the different ministries. You know, we have ministries in Respect Life and Family Life, and catechesis, and youth ministry, and young adult ministry. I think there's some bereavement workshops. There's a lot of different ministries that we support, and we try to have workshops for all of those different ministries.
Could you move the whole package over from the fall, what you had planned, or did you have to start over at ground zero?
No, we just moved it all over. I mean, a lot of the speakers were available because there's so few events happening, right? But some of the speakers obviously can't. I mean, so we lost probably 10 or 15 speakers that we had to replace or whatever, but we're looking forward to it. We're also going to be doing an Into the Mix, like a kind of a Theology on Tap type, you know, a gathering of young adults with a speaker and some adult beverages happening in the evening on Friday of that also at Holy Family in Citrus Heights. So we're excited about being able to offer those things. That's in April 1st and 2nd. You know, I skipped over the rest of January, you know, because I was talking about Fired Up, but we do have, you know, all of our Respect Life events centered around the 49th anniversary of Roe versus Wade decision. And so we are going to be having a pro-life Eucharistic adoration for 9 days from the 12th obviously 9 days because it's a novena, but between the 12th and the 20th, and that'll be an adoration, either 24 hours of adoration or a shorter period of adoration at 9 different parishes over 9 days, headed up to that anniversary.
So it's a separate parish each day.
Yeah, so every parish has a, you can find that on the website, scd.org / protect every life. I think that's where it is.
And you can call Moises de Leon as well. Moises is at 916-733-0133. That's something, you know, if you can figure out how to do it, to go from one parish to the next each night and do all 9 nights, that would be fabulous.
It would be really a good thing to do. So we're getting people connected to do that. We're also doing, I talked about Into the Mix, we're doing an Into the Mix, like a Moises de Leon will be the speaker at Into the Mix, and that will be at the cathedral on January 21st. Not at the cathedral, that will be at Divine Mercy in Sacramento on January 20th, the night before. On the 21st is the Respect Life Mass, kind of the mass of reparation for Roe versus Wade and the sin of abortion in our country, and that happens on the 21st at the regular 12:15 Mass at the cathedral, but the bishop will be there, etc. And then, of course, we have Walk for Life on the 22nd, and, you know, many parishes, you know, not as many as usual, but there are several parishes that are going to be sponsoring buses. I imagine it will be a really good turnout for that, people, because we didn't do it last year. So we're excited about that. Another thing that we really promote in our department is theology of the body, and we have some theology of the body workshops coming up on the 31st of January and the 1st of February. There'll be an English and a Spanish one at Immaculate Conception in Corning on the 31st, and then on February 1st, there'll be a theology of the body workshop at St. John the Baptist in Chico.
Okay.
And again, Moises is the contact, 916-733-0133, as you said before. Also, scd.org/protect-every-life or /respect-life. I think they both get you to the same spot.
I'm hearing more and more about Immaculate Conception in Corning. Seems like there are a lot of events there.
Yeah, I guess, they must say yes, right?
We guess so.
Email. there's a lot going on. There's a lot more going on in Corning than you might think.
That's right.
We are also trying to, I'm really trying to impress on my staff that, we really need to get around the diocese and do things in places other than Sacramento, because our diocese is so much bigger than that, right?
Right.
And there's always, it's always the population is down here, but there's so many people that just don't get the opportunity. And so we're trying to offer more and more stuff virtually and more trying to kind of rotate things around so they're not always in the same place. I mean, there's always a tension about that, but we try to do that. If you want to continue to go through February,
yeah, we've got absolutely
the World Marriage Day Mass on February 12th. That's going to be at St. Lawrence Parish in North Highlands at 9:30 on February 12th. That's a great day to kind of renew or refresh your marriage vows and they're doing certificates for significant wedding anniversaries. So if it's if you're 25 years, or I think they might have, I don't know what the years are off the top of my head, but
1 year they had 73.
73?
Somebody,
years?
Yeah, 73 years. One couple.
I hope they got a certificate for that. That's a
they
long
did.
Time.
I think they got a cake and everything.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Kevin, am I noticing more moving things around as opposed to, say, having them all at the cathedral, like World Marriage Day, things like that?
Yeah, we're trying. I think there's still, if you look at our calendar, we still do a lot of stuff at the Pastoral Center, but we're trying to move stuff around a little bit more, and trying to be more aware. We're trying to do more stuff up north. I mean, like I said, we even did the confirmation conference up north again for the second year, and we'll probably never be able to not do it up in the north again. But it's good. I think it's good to get around and see different places, experience more of the diocese. couple of other things that are happening in February. We have a family catechesis conference day. Many of our parishes are starting to, instead of focusing solely on preparing individual children for the sacraments, they're trying to do formation for the family as a whole,
mm-hmm.
teach the family how to really live the faith out at home. And so that's been a real focus of ours. And so we're going to have a whole family catechesis day where we'll have several publishers that will come in and talk about the different curriculum that's available and try to encourage parishes to consider just changing their focus. And it's really, it's a big change for parishes, right? Because how we usually do it now is like you have a class and the kids, you know, it's a classroom model by and large, or a small group model, where the parents drop the kids off, the kids go to class, they have tests, they have all this stuff, and it's moving from that to saying, no, we're going to have the whole family come together. We're going to have a family gathering. Maybe we have a meal beforehand, right? And then we send extra materials home for the family to practice and do together. So we're trying to create a habit of prayer in the home, a habit of forgiveness in the home, a habit of doing service together in the home, a habit of, you know, here's how you live out your faith. So it's the head knowledge, the intellectual knowledge of the understanding of the teachings of the church is just a part of a full Christian and a full Christian life and a mature Catholic faith. So that's what we're trying to do, is to try to get people to do that. So the idea is to have a conference for anybody who's interested, but primarily for people that are running faith formation programs or people that are teaching in faith formation or catechesis programs in parishes, to come and learn about the family model. How does it work? You know, and it's a different, you know, it's different because catechists might be mentors for parents, right? So they have 10 families, and they check in with those families, and they say, oh, how are things going? You know, are you understanding the material? Have you been able to pray together? You know, whatever. So rather than us teaching, we're more accompanying or mentoring families, and the families are doing it together as a group, not just, you know, again, you know, sometimes in a parish, right, the first communion class is on Tuesday, the junior high class is on Wednesday, the high school youth ministry is on Friday, and on Thursday is the parent formation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, well, no, I mean, that also works against against family life. Can we do this all together? So the idea is that we all come on Tuesday once or twice a month, and we have an experience together, and we make a commitment as a family. Okay, when we go home, we're gonna, you know, once a week we're gonna say the rosary, or once a week we're gonna watch these videos on baptism, or we're gonna, you know, whatever it is, right? But that idea that we are providing the resources and training the parents and sending the families home to practice their faith and cover the material in their homes.
I think that's a fabulous idea. I sincerely believe that's going to bear great fruit.
Yeah, I think it will, and I think it, you know, it's shown to be, you know, to work really well. But it's also getting out of the mentality of, you know, this is a school of faith, right? Like, you know, we have to do the prayer test, and we have to have the, you know what I mean, and we have to do the evaluation. And if they don't, you know, if they don't know all the Ten Commandments in exactly the right order, you know, that's all we're trying to do, right? So we do want them to know the Ten Commandments in the right order, but we also want them to be living out those commandments in their everyday life and practicing that. We want the parents to know the Ten Commandments, right? We want them to be able to, you know, talk about, have meaningful discussions about those Ten Commandments and how they affect and interact with their real life every day, right? So faith sharing and prayer and, you know, and forgiveness and doing service together. And there's a lot of things that I think we can do. So rather than having them constantly driving to the parish to do classes, find some time in your schedule at home. You don't need to drive down to the parish. You can do this together in your house, right? That's what we're working on, and we're hoping that more and more parishes will embrace it.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard, I think, for the volunteers that have been teaching the third grade class for 10 years to be told, we don't want you to teach the third grade class. Instead, we want you to mentor these 10 families. Right, you know, like, right. What does that mean, right? I don't want to do that. I know the book. I know my chapters. I want to do this, right? But we're trying to push people in a different direction. So that's what that family catechesis conference will be about in February.
So, you know, just a curiosity, with ministry days being April 1st and 2nd, which is still about five and a half months, almost 6 months ahead of when you would normally. Are you still planning to have a ministry days in the fall, or are you going to kind of wait and see what happens in April?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to do the ministry days in the fall. The schools really want it in the fall. That really works for St. Francis High School, where we normally have it. So we had thought about trying to break it out and do it in the spring, but I just don't think that we don't have really the support of the schools department to do it then. Mm-hmm. They would much rather do it in the fall. So I think we're probably going to do ministry days in April and then again in September.
Okay. It can't hurt. It's a great program, having it twice in a year.
We're trying to expand that program so that, you know, those parents we talked about before doing catechesis at the home, they could also come to this program and learn some more about their faith, grow in their faith, get some books and materials and some prayer resources and things like that to take home. They could, you know, they could learn, you know, so, you know, this would also be an appropriate, ministry days would be appropriate for parents to come to say, well, hey, you know, my parish is asking me to be a part of this family program. I want to do a good job of, you know, passing on the faith in the home and practicing the faith in the home. Ministry days would be the perfect place to go and make some connections and get some resources to do that well.
Yeah, we can call ministry days in the fall the ministry days booster shot.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Couple of other things. Just wanted to mention that we are going to be doing workshops for youth ministry leaders and young adult ministry leaders in February as well. There's going to be a youth ministry workshop on February 17th at the Pastoral Center on bridging the gap between confirmation and youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a young adult ministry workshop on February 19th at the Pastoral Center, and that will be on strengthening the young adult core team. So those are coming up. And so we're hoping people will go to those trainings. We also are doing a training for confirmation leaders, and that will be in April, at the end of April, after ministry days. And that will be on communication with parents, and it will be offered in English and Spanish on the 26th, the 28th, and the 30th of April. So, again, like some training for catechists and leaders from parishes that are working with youth, with young adults, and with confirmation specifically.
All right. And the synod on synodality, which is a mouthful. I had to learn how to pronounce synodality.
Yes. So that's another thing. We're supporting that. Several of our staff members are going out to the deaneries because there's kind of two processes. One's a parish process, and one is being led by the deaneries. The mm-hmm. parish process is that the parish council presidents or the parish council leadership has been asked to host at least one listening session. They can host more if they want on the synod with the goal of really listening to the parishioners and finding where they are in their faith. What are they finding, you know, how are they feeling about their faith and the parish, and where are they finding Christ, and how are they growing in their faith? But the idea is it's a faith sharing moment, right? And the note takers take down what they heard in that session.
Right.
And all of that is being put onto a central website so that the diocesan staff can then take the notes from all of the meetings that are happening in all of the parishes and all of the other ministries in the diocese, and publishing it, putting it together in a 10-page report for the U.S. bishops. And then the U.S. bishops take the 10-page reports from the 190-some-odd dioceses in the United States, and they have to take that. I don't know how many pages theirs can be, but it's a lot longer than 10. But mm-hmm. they then take that and they send that to the international, right? So then that goes to Rome. So our staff is helping out with that. If people are interested in finding out more about the synod or about maybe doing a listening session with a ministry that you're involved with in the parish, you can take a look at the website. It's scd.org/synod, S-Y-N-O-D. And if you look at the facilitator section, it explains in detail, and there's videos on how to lead a listening session and how to submit the notes. So people are welcome, ministries are welcome to hold a listening session. But it needs to be done in a specific way. It's not just type your comments. It's have a listening session with your ministry.
Right, and they really want a diversity of participants, if you will. You, no matter what your opinion is or what your thought is, open up and be honest. Talk to us.
Yeah, and it's not a reform the church. Let's figure
not
out
a venting
let's
session.
The church's
yeah.
problem, and it's right. not a venting session. It's a faith sharing session.
Right.
Here's honestly where my faith is right now. I feel isolated from my faith. I really feel really close to Jesus right now. I feel, I feel like the parish leads me towards Christ in these ways. I feel like, the parish leads me away from Christ in these ways, mm-hmm. right? Here's how I feel about parish leadership. Here's how I feel about whether I'm being listened to. Here's how I feel, here's how I feel about Jesus right now in my life. Here's my relationship to the Eucharist, right? So it's really just people hoping that people will just share really honestly. We're trying to get a sense of where people are and how people are feeling about if they feel like they're being listened to, if they feel like they do belong to the church, if they feel like, there's a lot of questions, I think, especially with, we've talked on this program a couple times, Bob, about disaffiliation. People mm-hmm. just saying, I don't want to be part of a church at all, right? And the question is, why is that? Maybe if we really listen and people are really honest in these sessions, we'll get an idea of, here's the areas that, here's the areas we need to work on here. Here's where our people are at. Here's how we can serve them better. So.
Absolutely. Well, Deacon, you've got your hands full. You've got a lot planned for this coming year, and God's blessings to you and your family in this new year, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a good evening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Very good. Thanks so much. That's Deacon Kevin Stasko. And just a lot going on as the wheels of this church keep turning despite the COVID pandemic, and just a lot. I'm really thrilled, Gabe, that they're going to have ministry days in April. They had it all planned out. Had a great speaker coming in from Notre Dame. She was going to do the English and the Spanish, and I believe she's coming back in April as well. So really looking forward to that. It's always a great gathering for the diocese. Usually over 1,000 participants, and it's just going to be it'd be wonderful to have it April 1st and 2nd. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento.
Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for the many hats you wear and all the great work you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're just pleased and honored to welcome in Yasmin Castellanos from our great Catholic Schools Department. Yasmin, good day to you.
How are you, Bob?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
You are featured in the upcoming Catholic Herald. We broke into the vault of the Catholic Herald and stole the proofs and saw this wonderful story, which will be coming out very shortly, about the dual immersion, DLI, dual language immersion program at St. Philomene's. And what's really interesting to me was it really goes into the background, how it got going, how it got started, and some of the, not necessarily mistakes, but some of the early history in the 60s of how this started, and maybe this isn't working the right way, maybe we need to look this a little different, and just the great success that you're having there at St. Philomene's. And tell us about your role in that.
I help coordinate the program over at St. Phil's. We do have a very strong principal, Miss Carrie Bray, as well as staff that is very excited and very dedicated to the success of the program. I've been walking this journey with them pretty much since 2017, as the program started in that fall. And I was very impressed, absolutely felt this wonderful program that would help many of our students. And I owed so much to this education that in January of 2018, I went back to school and pursued a master's degree.
Oh, wow.
With an emphasis on the dual language immersion. So it's been my pleasure, and I've loved looking at this program and learning all the benefits and how it's definitely a gift for our children in the Catholic schools.
So you and a contingent went down to Los Angeles in 2017, is that correct?
Yes, it was actually that first year, and it was in the fall, and it was a team of us that went down to look at one of the schools in the L.A. area, and they were doing very well, and their program was successful, and it still is interesting. So essentially, at the moment,
Yasmin, we're having some technical difficulties here. Maybe we'll take a quick break and we'll see if we can get a better connection with you, and we'll be right back. So hold on, and we'll be right back. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff, for that wonderful introduction. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate all you've done here in the Sacramento region, in the county of Sacramento. We were talking with Yasmin Castellanos, the director of the dual language immersion coordinator for the Diocese Catholic Schools Department. Yasmin, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Clear as a bell.
Fabulous.
And isn't St. Philomene's on bell? So there we go.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So you were telling us about you went down to L.A. to just get a look at somebody that was doing this successfully.
Yes, we did do that in the fall of 2017, and it was a great thing to do that early on in the development of the program here in Sacramento, because we got an opportunity to see what the classrooms look like, the way teachers interacted with the students, as well as look at the curriculum they used. And we were blessed that after it was a half day that day, we were able to sit down and chat with the teachers and the principal, just find out what some of the challenges were in the program and just how they were moving that along to make it a successful program.
And you brought that all back to Sacramento, but there's a lot of learning involved, right? I mean, in terms of the right way to do this.
Yes, there is. Besides investing in a reputable curriculum, the teachers do have to learn to stay in their target language. For example, our school being a Spanish dual language immersion, when the teachers are teaching in Spanish, they have to stay in that language and avoid switching back to English, because then the children will, for example, they will realize that you speak English and they will not try as hard to communicate back in that Spanish language. So those are efforts within the classroom that they have to do. There's that pedagogy. They also work very hard with their English counterpart for that same grade so that they are on track and they are partner teaching these students. So there are some skills and extra work that is involved for our teachers of the Spanish dual language immersion program.
So you're doing it one grade level per year, is that right?
We have added, yes, one new grade level each year. The mm-hmm. first year we started with just TK, so we're essentially following that cohort of children, and as they moved into kinder, then we had TK and kinder, and then first grade, then we had three grades. Mm-hmm. But currently, with that initial group, we're up to third grade.
Wow. And what have you learned along the way in that 4 or 5 year period?
My goodness. There is a lot to be done in the aspect of the co-teaching, the collaborative teaching with the teachers, as well as having creative instructional strategies so that the children, so you can stay, for example, as a Spanish teacher within that Spanish language, but be creative enough so that you can bring the students into the understanding of the language as well. Continuously being creative and visual so the children will learn and memorize the language. But I think one of the beautiful things is that, as I've mentioned before, half of the day of the curriculum is taught in Spanish and half of the day is English, and it's amazing to see that these children are learning mathematics in Spanish. So it is visual, so that's very helpful. And just to see them moving along, you know, just smoothly is very satisfying to see that move along with these children. But as you develop these programs, you do have to realize that you might run into situations where the children may not always have needed support at home. So mm-hmm. you have to get creative in the classroom so that you can do the majority of the teaching and have the students do the majority of their learning within the classroom.
You know, math seems to be one of those subjects that you hear about. Kids either love it or they say, I don't have a math gene. You know, it's like, I can't add 2 plus 2. I'll never be able to add 2 plus 2. Is that subject particularly hard with the dual immersion or not?
It doesn't really make a difference just because mm-hmm. they're learning it in Spanish. It would be the same thing pretty much if you struggle with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits are that a lot of the roots for mathematical, like geometric, you know, words have a Latin root. So
right.
It's very easy for these children to make connections with these shapes and symbols and be able to use them in their Spanish language, and it sticks. So, yeah, it's pretty much the same. Either you're a numbers or a letters person.
Now, you're up to 60% of the student body is engaged in this.
Yes, approximately.
Wow.
Because our classes have pretty much filled almost to capacity in every grade between TK and third.
Mm-hmm.
So our classrooms are pretty full, so it is about 60% of our student body at the moment. And we are currently getting phone calls for children or for parents wanting to enroll their children for next year already.
So this is not now a neighborhood school per se. You're drawing from a lot of places, presumably.
Actually, that's correct. We do. As it is, St. Philomene is a school, almost like a commuter school. We do have families from various areas in the Sacramento County, and as well as some, I believe, like in Solano County, perhaps because their parents work in the Sacramento area.
Mm-hmm.
But they do come from all over, but especially now because we have this program, families are calling and looking at it specifically
to enroll
our children in the dual language program. So we are continuously getting families that are willing to make this drive to put these children into our Spanish dual language program because it's important to them to learn a second language, you know, alongside, you know, their academics.
What was the most challenging part of putting this together and getting it up and running?
The most challenging, I believe, and it's something that we've talked about, is that there is a misunderstanding still as to what dual language immersion is. There's still a belief that it might be bilingual education, which is something that was what started back in the 60s, which
mm-hmm.
is the program which was developed to remove your home language in favor for the English language in this country.
In other words, to take somebody that's not an English speaker and make them an English speaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's subtractive, and that had its cognitive delays and affected children. And dual language immersion is actually a additive program. You don't remove your home language. You're adding a new one. It actually enhances your cognitive development. So our students are learning almost like a gifted program. You are learning all of your academics in two languages, and we're not removing anything. So there is that misunderstanding still, and it's about re-educating the newer generations what dual language immersion is, and that it's not a bilingual program, and it's not meant like an English as a second language program for their students, but rather our native English speakers so that they learn Spanish. And if you do have just Spanish-speaking students, they will learn English in the classroom and continue to learn, like all of their students, all the other students, two languages simultaneously.
Do you have very many students in TK that would speak only Spanish at home?
You know, at St. Philomene's, we've noticed that the majority of our students do come from English-speaking homes or bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have very many children that just speak Spanish
right.
at home. Yeah, that's pretty much what our demographic is for our Catholic school.
Right. Much more likely in the 60s and 70s that there would be kids that you know, they're first generation, literally. And but we don't see that quite as much now.
No, at least not here in the Sacramento area, first generation. These are now second or third.
Exactly.
Parents want their children to keep their cultural language so that they can communicate with their grandparents.
Right.
Or that they have that extra benefit of knowing the two languages that will help them in the future, in their children, you know, their children in their careers. So it's an added plus for their children.
I remember growing up way back when, and my grandma and grandpa were both immigrants from Germany and to North Dakota, of all places. And so my mom, growing up in that family, had some German in her, but she'd only speak it when she got mad at us. We'd say, "What did she say?" "I don't know, but she looks mad."
Yep.
We never did anything wrong. I can't believe she would be mad at us.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But, it was hardly bilingual, that's for sure. But it just reminded me of that. So is this the wave of the future?
We believe so. More and more people are familiar with the dual language programs today compared even to back to 2017 when we started. Parents are actively seeking out these programs. They're familiar with the benefits. It is definitely becoming a highly coveted form of education for our students.
It was so valuable in California and so helpful to a lot of people, you know. And I wish when I was in elementary school that these kinds of programs had been available, because it's not a deficit, but so many times you see job postings, and sometimes it says bilingual preferred, and many times it'll say bilingual required. Because you're maybe in a service organization where it's necessary to deal with the clientele.
Exactly. It is an added benefit. And
absolutely.
The beauty also of our dual language immersion program in a Catholic school is because, you know, we do encourage servant leadership with our children.
Right.
And we do teach them to serve others as well. And if you speak two languages, you can connect with twice as many
right.
people and help those that need you.
That's right. Is there any demand? Spanish and English are the two prime languages in California for sure. Is there any demand for this sort of program in a English and another a different language other than Spanish?
Actually, the school that we visited, which is also in Alhambra, they had two tracks, the Spanish-English track and a Mandarin-English track.
Oh, wow.
So that is popular. In other parts of the country, they're working to preserve the Native American languages, so they will have two tracks for that. In our region, we do think that perhaps in the future we could possibly add an additional language into one of the schools and add a second track with a different language. But we're going to have to do some research on there and see what
see if the demand is there. And
exactly.
And then who can teach it?
Yes, yes, because as we know, we do have challenges recruiting teachers into our schools in general, and even harder when they have to teach at a target or specific language.
Right, right. Well, Yasmin, I'm glad you're running that program and I'm not, because it would be a great difficulty for me. But I'm just 100% thrilled by this. I just think it's good for the kids, it's good for the families, and it's good for society.
I agree, and we are very delighted with what we see in our children. Like you said, it's great for them individually, their mental development. Their confidence because they speak two languages,
yeah.
But just even their relationships with each other, because there's a lot of collaborative learning in the classroom, and they help each other to learn the languages that they need to. And it's absolutely beautiful to see the children develop in those areas every year and become stronger.
You hit on that word confidence. I was thinking that ahead of time. This must just do wonders for a kid's confidence.
It does for sure.
Yeah, well, God's blessings to you and your family in the new year, and I hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today.
You too,
Yasmin.
Happy
New Year to you and your family as well.
Thanks so much. God bless. That's Yasmin Castellanos, who is the coordinator of the dual language immersion for the Catholic Schools Department here in the Diocese of Sacramento. They're lucky to have her, Gabe.
Yeah, she's always willing to come on whenever I ask her to, and she's always so good, and she knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to tell everybody, you know, it's the new year, new time for you to subscribe to your favorite podcast, The Bishop's Hour. Also, you can get it on our website, scd.org. SCD, of course, standing for Sacramento.
That's what I do
Catholic
when I
Diocese.
Recall something, I'll go to the scd.org and find the Bishop's Hour and ignore your picture and your phone number.
I would do both of those things.
Go right to the, and there it is. You just hit the link and boom, there it is.
Yep. Yeah, and then, you know, those are for people who can't or don't want to listen at 9 o'clock at night, Relevant Radio.
But we love people listening at 9
o'clock
course. At night.
Of course. Yeah, we do. But we don't want to ignore the other people who don't, you know, who don't listen to the radio that time of night. So, yeah, podcasts, go to any podcast app you have on your phone and type in Sacramento Bishop's Hour and hit subscribe, and it's that easy.
I've heard people say they were coming home from a Kings game and that this was, they'd been praying during the Kings game, and now they're listening to the Bishop's Hour.
At this point, that's all the Kings have got left.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. No, it's easy way to get it. We won't spam you. We won't text you. I don't get any.
And it's free.
It's free.
When you hear the word subscription, you think, oh, what's it going to cost me? Nothing.
This is like the old ones you used to get when you were a kid when they tell you it was a
free.
Yeah. But back then it wasn't. This is free.
Yeah.
It
started getting mailers.
Yeah, and we're not going to spam you or send you text. I don't get any of the numbers of subscriptions. It goes all to Apple, and they do nothing with it. They just know to upload to your phone. So it's real easy, real simple. And 2022, you should be doing that for yourself to as a New Year's resolution to listen to the Bishop's Hour much more often.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not too hard.
It's not too hard. Every year I like to thank everybody, including you, Gabe, and all the people, the underwriters who have supported the show, Bishop Wiegand, who founded the program, along with Father Monsignor James Murphy, Father Sylvester McDermott, the late Father Sylvester McDermott. We're really prime movers in getting this going. And Bishop Soto for just all his great support of the Bishop's Hour and of our Spanish language Radio Santissimo, which is just going gangbusters, and then all the guests we've had. I mean, I can't even. It's in 22 and a half years now. It's just mind-boggling the guests we've had. But of course, the most important part of all of it is the listeners.
Oh yeah, and everybody, you know, who also. Well, I mean, of course, you, Bob. Thank you for not only doing this, but for also giving me a job and a job that I enjoy. But also the people who are the department heads and the people who work in the departments here at the diocese for
so
always
generous of their time.
Yeah, always giving us their time. I mean, granted, we have this sort of symbiotic relationship. We help them; they help us. But it's great because they're all good on the radio, all of them.
And then the occasional guests we get from outside the diocese, an author, sometimes somebody in Rome, sometimes somebody setting the alarm and getting up at 2 in the morning where they are to participate in the show. That's always we really thank those people for taking the extra step to be part of the program.
For sure. Yeah. And then just, you know, also, and I'd like more of this in the coming year, the listeners who want to participate. You know, we're not a call-in based show. We're not going to be taking calls from, you know, so-and-so out in Fair Oaks or what have you. But what we are going to, what we do like to do is people to call our inside office line, which is 916-733-0107, and suggest somebody for us. You have somebody come into your parish that you want to talk. You have
or suggest yourself.
Yeah, or yourself. You know, yeah. I mean, it's okay. I won't tell.
If you've got a ministry going, or like a lunch program, or a
perfect example is Jane Lee. Jane Lee, who's been coming on our show for years now. We originally heard about Jane because she had this ministry that she wanted to get off the ground, and she has. And we have her on at least once a month, trying to get her to, you know, to keep the ministry in people's mind. I mean, and that doesn't, it's not a one-off with her. She's not the only one.
Maybe your parish is having a parish workshop. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're bringing in a guest speaker from somewhere.
Yard sale.
Yeah, a yard sale.
Yeah.
A shred day. Lots
crab feast. We love the crab feast. Yeah, bring samples. Yeah, I mean, and that's the kind of thing. Also the thing, too, is that I really like having on is the kids from schools, athletes, academic decathlon, speech, all the things that we have on that we usually, a lot of it we have to go through the schools department, which is fine because, you know, they're a great resource for us and we love supporting them. But, you know, I would say this all the time. We always hear about the football team, the baseball team, the basketball team, the your major sports. But I want to hear from a kid who's killing it in badminton, or somebody who's a cross country runner, or somebody who doesn't get the accolades that they should get for what they do and how hard they work. Because you know, more people come watch football doesn't mean those kids are working any harder.
Or the kids that are doing some public service project.
Yeah.
In the community.
Is your kid doing a science fair project that you think may someday change the world?
Yeah,
great. Let's have him on.
Yeah.
You know, we love to highlight all of our Catholic school students.
And so sometimes people go, well, how come they have that? People, we're doing something like that in our school or our community or our parish. It's because somebody volunteered it. Some things are natural, like ministry days, and they're bringing out a keynote speaker. And, we're going to, schedule that person. But most of the time, it's somebody in a parish, somebody in the community calling us or emailing us and saying, hey, somebody here is doing this great deal, and that's what we're all about.
And contrary to popular belief, I don't skim every single website that is dedicated to the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento. If you have a ministry that has a website and you're like, well, you never come to my website, it's not because I don't want to, it's just because I maybe don't know it exists.
Exactly.
Same with all the schools. Like, I can only go to every school's website every so often, because I get people emailing me and sending me things to get on the show.
We have 37, 38 elementary schools and our great high schools, and there's a lot going on with all those kids.
I want to get them all on if I can. Yeah. So, and I know you want to talk to them.
It's such a joy. I love talking to them.
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
Yeah.
They're the best. When they have the kids who do the speeches, they're amazing. Because they come on and they read their speech.
They deliver
their speech. And that's the thing that I think we missed last year when we had some kids on near the end of December. It was like they were at home.
Yeah.
So we couldn't have it in play. And yet we know that they're not reading it, that they're doing it from memory, but you can't see it.
They'd come in here. They'd get to miss half a day of school. They'd come in
here. Come on the Bishop's Hour and don't go to school that day.
And they'd bring their proud mom or proud dad and their teacher or their speech coach or whatever, whoever it was.
I know we got to go in like 30 seconds, but can you remember in school, like the best day was when you got out of school and your parents were with you, so it was totally excused?
Yeah.
It was the best day ever. Yeah.
You didn't even have to come up with a reason. That's going to do it for us for today. Greatly appreciate you all listening and everybody who has supported us along the way. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
sacrifice. You've not joined with my life. I sing in vain tonight.